When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right,
cool. We go. Now that we got that established.
So welcome to Cast and Crank Podcast. We got a really cool dude in. Corey Conway is a Fishhead team member. And we're also going to have on Greg Vinson of Major League Fishing Bass Tournament Pro. He's the Fishhead Pro staff. But let's talk to Corey first about his involvement with Fishhead and how we kind of got him on the podcast and stuff like that.
Right on. Thanks. This is such a humbling experience.
No problem.
I'm excited. I love what you guys are doing here.
Thank you, man.
This setup is sweet. So, yeah, I mean, I was just fishing a lot and happened to use the lures and, you know, tagging Fishhead and DMing here and there. I guess they liked what I was doing, and I think it was about, gosh, going on 3 years or so now, reached out to me and talked about, you know, just being more like on their promotional marketing team for the West Coast. And really because they're known mostly for largemouth and freshwater, and they have, you know, a presence pretty much across the country, but they want to get more into the inshore. And so the, you know, the spotted bay bass and the halibut and stuff like that, they really opened their eyes to getting into the West Coast scene.
And to you showing what, I mean, you're a very avid fisherman, so, and you promote their baits a lot, and you do catch a lot of spotties and a lot of halibut.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure they're stoked to see what you're catching.
Yeah, and I think the timing, too, was right when the underspin just, the, you know, the excitement of that bait.
Which was probably, what, about a year and a half ago,
maybe? Yeah. So, you know, it was right around or before then, and, so once that's kind of like set fire, they're like, oh, wow. So, but yeah, I mean, it's super great organization. John, the owner, and his wife, Erin, runs the Instagram page or anything else. But, you know, and needing anything, I can always reach out to John.
Awesome.
You know, I don't get like, you know, it's not like free stuff. It's not anything like that. It's more, it's what I make of it, you know, and that's what's cool.
Yeah.
That's what's really cool is that they support, you know, I get discounts on lures. I'm buying lures anyway, so I get discounts on their stuff. All their stuff works from the underspins all the way up to their chatterbaits to their, like, jig heads that I brought in today. Yeah,
and he brought some really cool jig heads we're going to talk about, some underspins. Really cool stuff. We appreciate it. Me and Justin. Justin's not here today. He had to work, and I'm on vacation, so this is what I'm doing on vacation. So what we're going to do now is give Greg a call and get him on the podcast. This is our first call-in, so we'll see how it goes, guys. Let's cross our fingers.
Hello.
Hey, Greg. It's Nick with Cast and Crank and Corey.
Hey,
Greg. Hey, Nick. Corey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Like I said, guys, I kind of screwed the pooch, and I didn't get to test this whole module out, and he's hearing a little bit of feedback, so we're going to give him a little bit of time if there is a little bit of a gap and an answer and a question. But thanks again so much for coming on the podcast. This is really awesome. You're our first, you know, bass pro and Major League Fishing bass pro. We really appreciate that.
Awesome, man. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah, so talk to us a little bit about Major League Fishing. I mean, that's kind of new. Yes. Were you part of the Bassmaster before?
I was. I was a Bassmaster Elite Series Pro for 10 years.
Wow.
And got there. I've been thinking about doing the Major League Fishing for a while. And just never got the opportunity to do it. You know, we always had a full schedule. Got a wife and kid at home, and bass fishing is an expensive trip. I was really excited to have the opportunity to fish that format. And when everything went down this year, I was just really excited to get that call and get that invite.
Now, since you went to the Major League Fishing, you no longer fish part of the Bassmaster? Did you kind of move?
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The way the schedules are, and it's just basically you had to make a decision which way you wanted to go. And I've had a great career with bass, you know, all the way going back to fishing club tournaments and fishing the Federation, making the Federation Championship, and all of that was through bass. And then to work my way up through the Opens into the Elites. It's a lot of great people with that organization. And so it was a difficult decision to leave that behind for something that's hopefully better. You know, that's the goal.
Awesome. So this is your first year, and what are some of your, if you can give us your background on your tournament experience, because you're, really amazing angler. So we kind of want to talk about that, you know, like some of your placings and stuff like that.
Wow, man. You know, I imagined being a bass pro. My dad was a diehard club angler, a weekend angler. He fished some local tournaments. I grew up on Lake Martin, and which I didn't realize how lucky I was. It was all I'd ever known, but I was very fortunate to grow up on such a beautiful lake. And, you know, there wasn't a whole lot else to do when I was at home but fish, you know. Otherwise, we were kind of out in the sticks, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But outside of playing sports, I love playing sports, always been a competitor. And I've always loved catching fish. So when I got out of college, having that opportunity to fish tournaments where I could mesh those two passions, you know, the competition and fishing, I just couldn't get enough. And I still can't get enough to this day.
Yeah, I hear you, man. We're the same way. I have a couple questions for you. So one personal question I have is, if you were to come to California to fish, say, I don't know, I guess Southern California, maybe Diamond Valley.
Clear Lake.
Clear Lake's hard because that's a totally different area than where we're at. And I know the fishing's a lot better. Have you ever fished anything in Southern California?
I haven't, man, but no. I've been doing a little research. And so listening to one of your other podcasts, and I heard the guys talking about spotties. And I was like, oh, cool, they got spotted bass.
They're a little different.
So I listened in a little bit and did a little more research. And I was like, that looks like something I'd like to do right there. So I would love to come out and fish for some saltwater, brackish water species. You know, we've got the bays and deltas here in Alabama and the surrounding states, Louisiana, South Carolina, all of those, you know, you have those brackish water fisheries and you can fish for, you can head upstream and fish for bass and bluegill and crappie. And you can head a little bit further downstream and get into, we have the redfish and speckled trout. I would love to fish for a unique species. I mean, that would be a totally new species. The first time I caught one, that would be a totally new species for me. That in itself is something exciting. I'd never get tired of catching fish.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, man. So let's talk about some of your line of baits that you have on Fishhead and some tips you maybe can give for us on rigging.
Greg, I brought in the V-Lock and the new V3.
Okay, cool.
Just so they had that to hear and...
Sure. Yeah. And the biggest thing, you know, one of the cool things with Fishhead is there are a line of baits, the Primal series, that are probably geared a little bit more towards, you know, the black bass species. Mm-hmm. But then there's a lot of baits in the original Fishhead spin, you know, the bait that put Fishhead on the market are minnow imitators, or they're built for minnow imitators. And I've not met a predatory fish yet that I can think of that doesn't like to eat a minnow. And and the best minnow imitator is a small swim bait up to the bigger swim baits. Depending on the size forge you're trying to imitate, mm-hmm. you just match up with the size swim baits you put on there. And the V-Lock is designed for more like the hollow body type swim baits. I was been doing that for several years around here, fishing hollow body swim baits on a jig head. and just never found one that was, that I felt like was perfect. One of the frustrating things about it was a hollow body swim bait doesn't have much meat in the head, you know, to hold that bait up on the a poor keeper. You know, the screw locks were a good option, but basically we're having to super glue everything.
Wow.
And, you know, we're dealing with schooling fish, you know, and I say schooling fish, I mean, maybe fish that are down deep, but they're fired up. You've got a school of fish found and you get that school fired up. There was nothing more frustrating than one pulling the swim bait down and then having to change baits and wait on super glue to dry while the fish are sitting there streaking on the screen. But it was a great bait to pick off those bigger fish. And so we've worked on the head and designed several features in there to hold those hollow body swim baits up with the two prong, the V style keeper will hold those hollow body style baits up. And by simply, if you want to use a solid body bait, you can press those down just a little bit and man, you can fish, you can catch multiple fish. They won't pull it down. And another thing that to me is an advantage is when they do tear up the bait, it's very easy to run one right back up on there and get back to work and not wait on super glue to dry. And I don't know, I've never tried super glue, but I doubt it tastes good. So I don't think they're going to, I don't think they're going to want to bite wet super glue, you know? And so you're going to have to either, glue a bunch of baits ahead of time, or you're going to be fishing with wet super glue.
And it gets on your hands and
it's a mess. It's a mess. Yeah, and I still use it from time to time, but man, it was just, I just got so frustrated and I started with a paper clip. I was taking a paper clip and putting it on the shank of the head that I was using at the time and basically just tying it and to get that V style. But once we found, when we started pouring it, we put some lead on the shank of the hook, and what that does, it helps the swim bait run a little bit more horizontal, a little more natural.
Mm-hmm.
And it also kind of encases that two prong keeper on the heavier, especially on the heavier sizes. It moves a little bit of the weight from the head down to the shank, so it's a smaller profile, and that head's designed with a bigger hook. That's designed for bigger baits, bigger fish.
I was going to ask you about that hook.
It's a beefy hook, dude. And I like that, you know, we're dealing with our spotties here, spotted bass. And we have the Coosa spots that you've probably heard of, the Alabama spots.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, they are mean, dude. They're mean fish and they will tear your stuff up. So it's good to have a good beefy hook, especially if you're throwing those big baits, because a 5 pound spot pulls about like a 16 pound largemouth.
Wow.
they are, but they're a lot of fun. And, so that's a beefy setup. But in recent years, you know, like the smallmouth, in the spotted bass and clear water, like what Martin has, you're dealing with smaller baits a lot of times, finesse presentations, clear water. And those fish are feeding on smaller forage. And another technique, you know, that you may or may not be familiar with, a lot of folks are still calling it Damiki fishing.
I was gonna say,
I don't like that because it refers to a single bait.
Yeah.
And you can put a lot of, but it's a vertical technique that works really, really good. It's kind of like the drop shot, but you're using a single head. And the beauty of that is you can set that at any depth on the graph and put the bait right on the fish's nose. But the presentation is real similar to a drop shot. And that's what the V3 was designed for. It's balances. You'll notice it's got a smaller profile hook, typically using little small minnow imitators, you know, two and three inch, baits, you know, but the smaller sizes of that V3, the reason we mentioned versatile in the V3 category is it's versatile as a swim bait head. One thing I noticed when we were testing it, the flattened underside causes it to sort of swim down. So if you've got a small swim bait on there and you cast it out, now I was looking at this in my pool initially and watching that head fall and it shimmies down. And then once you start it up, it flattens out on a really good plane. And we went with the the Gamakatsu hook, and that was a big decision for us, because we could have put a less expensive hook in there that would probably would have worked.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of times you get the fish that just want to nip at the back end of that swim bait, and you need a really sharp hook. And two, when you've got them kind of out on the end of the hook like that, a cheaper hook will flex a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so that 2-aught for us, you know, we tried the 1-aught, in several different brands, and it just didn't match up with enough of the swim baits. Went with the 2-aught, and it was like, this is it. You know, it's got a little more meat to it. I've actually fished it on a bait caster with some success.
Wow.
But it's designed for finesse fishing, and with lighter line and spinning tackle, that super sharp hook makes a big difference.
That's awesome.
And you have you're involved with the actual design then. You're not just telling them. You're like, hey, give me that. I'm going to form it.
No. One thing I love about working with Fishhead is they've let me have a lot of input, especially developing the 2 swim bait heads. And both of those came from, you know, a need that I had personally. And I was actually looking for a head on the market that would do what I wanted it to do. And I just couldn't find anything I was satisfied with. And I talked with John at Fishhead. I was like, hey, look, man, you know, I think we can do this better. And he was all ears, and he was all systems go, and really turned me loose with it. And it was cool to have that freedom to work on those baits, and
that's awesome.
And go through that whole process.
Yeah. So another thing we like to do on our podcast is talk about all the fun stuff when you're growing up and the rookie mistakes. You got anything good for us? Usually someone's dropped a boat off the trailer, didn't have a drain plug in. We had a couple guys actually sink boats on this podcast. So
how many times have I left the drain plug out and dropped the boat in the water?
Yeah.
I was fishing the PAA at Logan Martin one time, and it's close to the house and known for doing – no, I take that back. It was Neely Henry.
Uh-huh.
Neely Henry, and I had finished second. I missed winning by 8 ounces the year before. Wow. Steve Kennedy. So I was like, all right, I'm going to put the boat in early. You know, I'm going to get down to this area and check it out real quick before these guys, you know, I don't want these guys to see where I'm going, you know, that kind of thing. All these, you know, I don't know about you guys. Bass fishermen are like that. We don't want anybody to see where we're going, what we're throwing, you know, all that. It's all a big secret, and it's all on the internet, but not really. I put in, dude, and I hauled butt down the lake. I ran like 20 miles maybe.
Wow.
I got all the way down there to my deal, and you know, I'm like, okay, it's early, and I'm going to work, and I'm fishing, and all of a sudden I hear the bilge pump, you know, the automatic bilge pump kicks on. I'm just like, what the heck, you know? Pulled the plug last night, you know, it's not water in the boat. And you know, I just kept fishing. I didn't want to stop, and all of a sudden it just kept pumping out. I was like, oh man. So it was you know, first thing in the morning, you know, and I've got the whole day. I was going daylight to dark fishing, and the boat I was running at the time, the drain plug was way up under the boat. Oh, like you had to go scuba diving to get to it.
So you're screwed.
So I'm like, okay, I can run back 20 miles, put it on the trailer, you know, lose the first hour of practice, and these guys see where I'm going, or I can go swimming. And so I did. I jumped in and I felt my way around until I found the plug and got it back in and pumped the water out, and I was back after it and fished for a few hours soaking wet. But
I bet.
Thank goodness it was summer and not a February tournament. Oh, it would have been an icicle. But yeah, it's pretty cool, you know, thinking back, you know, how far you've come, and then we still do rookie mistakes. You know, I've been doing this for 12 years now, and I still leave the drain plug out occasionally. I just don't run 20 miles before I realize.
Yeah, I think we've all done that if you're a boat owner, even worse than that.
No kidding.
Let's talk about your PB bass, your personal bass.
Oh, man. Dude, I caught my 2 biggest bass ever have come in tournaments. One that I'll call my personal best is not actually the biggest fish I've ever caught. It was a 10 even. Wow. But I was fishing the Strin series, which is, you know, it's been the Costa, I think it's now the Everstart with FLW.
Mm-hmm.
and it was down on Lake Okeechobee.
Wow.
And I had had a decent day, had a decent limit, and I caught I had about a 5 or 6 pounder on in matted gator grass, flipping gator grass. It's like fishing kudzu. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have kudzu. We got kudzu in Alabama. It's like rope. I mean, you just can't pull through it.
Yeah.
And so I lost about a 6 pounder, and I was just sick. And had about 10 minutes left before I had to start back. And so I'm kind of fast flipping down this stretch of the bank before I have to, you know, before I got to go. Mm-hmm. And I get a bite, and I almost blow past it, you know. I just kind of lean on it. The boat sets the hook because the boat's drifting so fast. And this fish it was like I had an alligator hooked in the alligator grass. Just everything was going just nuts.
Wow.
But I couldn't pull the fish through. I mean, this stuff is literally like trying to pull through, you know, nylon rope. And the guy with me, I told him, I'm going to pull the fish to the top. You run the net underneath the mat. And let's hope we can get them. I mean, I don't care if you had 300-pound braid. You weren't going to pull this fish out of this stuff. And he did, man. He got underneath that fish, I had no clue. You know, I knew it was a good one, maybe a 5 or 6 pounder. And he pulled the fish out from under the mat, basically. And I just kept seeing fish. Like, the fish never ended. You know, it was such a big fish. But it was a 10 even. That was my first real, true professional tournament. My first tournament day of my first professional tournament ever. And I caught a 10 pounder. And I took that as a good omen.
Was that a big fish for that tournament?
I did get big fish, and you know, that was cool. You know, in Florida, you know, a 10 is a super giant for us.
Yeah,
you know, it is for anybody. And but on the Lake Okeechobee, you're not guaranteed that to be big fish.
Yeah,
and I did, and it was just, yeah, I just remember that feeling, like, I just, did that just happen? Like, I literally threw the fish in the live well cold and took off, and the whole, you know, I had about a 20-mile run back, and the whole way I'm just like, did that just happen? Did that just really happen? And but it did. But my personal biggest bass came a few years later in Florida again. I caught a 10-5.
Wow.
And I got to see it all happen. The fish was on bed. It's probably one of the easiest fish I've ever caught, to be honest with you. I was in an area I had already fished. I was doing some sight fishing, and I looked down, and seriously, I thought it was a log, and a log laying on the bottom in a canal. But I was like, there's no logs in the canals in Florida, you know, it's all residential. And I followed it back, and I could see something moving, and it was the fish's tail. And the fish was just dead still, but I could see the tail waving. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, the fish. And I didn't know if it was on bed, you know, it wasn't a clear bed or anything. Sometimes they'll bed on a little dark spot. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to spook this fish. It's going to be gone. I dropped the bait down there. First drop, the fish tilted up about 10 degrees off the bottom. And it looked like it just barely opened its mouth to kind of blow at it. And so I went to move the bait. And when I did, I felt pressure. And I was like, she got it. And I set the hook, and literally I thought the fish was going to break my rod. I was using braid, and that fish was – this is by far the strongest bass. Of course, the biggest bass, but it was definitely one of the strongest fish that I've ever fought. And I thought it was going to break my rod, literally. And,
did you get a picture of that bass?
I did. Awesome. It was a Bassmaster Open, and, of course, we released it. That was cool, you know, to release one like that and have a good picture of it. And something I'll have forever, you know.
Amazing, amazing. Have you ever had like one of the fake mounts made for any of your fish?
No, I haven't. You know, it's funny. I don't have a single fish mounted in my house. and you know, when I was a kid, my dad had told me, "Hey, if you catch a 5-pounder, you know, we'll get it mounted for you." Uh-huh. And I don't guess I ever caught a 5-pounder before I got out of the house. I had a couple on at my house on the lake. You know, I saw one. I know it was it was plenty, and I remember seeing it swimming and thinking, "That's my 5-pounder."
Yeah.
And I hooked the fish, and I lost it. I was just sick, man. I still remember that like yesterday. You know, and that was a long, long time ago as a kid. But no, I've caught some big spotted bass, but for me now, having that picture And it just means just as much. And knowing that I was able to release that fish and maybe somebody else will get to catch that big fish one day.
That's always awesome.
Yeah, you know, that's you know, more special to me than putting it on the wall.
Definitely, definitely. Well, if there's anything else you'd like to go over with a fish head, we don't want to take up all your time. We really, really do appreciate you coming on the podcast. This has been amazing. You're our first Bassmaster, our Bass FLW. I'm messing it up real good right now.
MLF. Sorry, that's what editing for.
You're our first MLF pro, you know, and if anything you want to add, Corey?
Yeah, I was going to wonder, are you able to talk about what's going on with Major League Fishing and, you know, maybe
yeah.
just some
yeah.
clarity between
yeah, the, I, any the questions fishing... you have, Corey, yeah, go. I mean, if you go for and,
cool.
And I'm aware there's some common questions that we hear and, yeah, it's all good stuff to talk about. All things I'm excited about.
Awesome. Awesome. So I guess just for starters, how is the tour going to be different from the show? Cause you know, the show
right.
and the series is, you know, multiple fish, multiple updates, fish tracker.
Right.
It's a very high speed, you know, you can't touch the fish. They don't touch the floor, you know,
right.
all that, you know,
right.
going from, to me, I would think going from where you've been with bass.
Oh yeah.
To that style. And I always crack up seeing like the crossover on these guys. They're just like when they
all geeked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're just used to dropping the fish on the floor and they're getting penalties and such. So it's,
yeah.
it's very
yeah.
entertaining Truth. For us, but I'm sure it's frustrating for an angler. So I'm just curious what's
it is and,
the difference.
And you know, I noticed a lot of times, I guess you don't realize how many just come off as you swing into the boat or up to the boat, or you're trying not to let them hit and they just flop off, you know, they just come off and you're just like, oh man,
too right. nice.
But no, I, you know, one of the big things for me is, you know, one of the biggest difference between the tour and what people are used to seeing the Bass Pro Tour, what people are used to seeing with the Major League Fishing with the Cup Series is we actually have a schedule. We've got the dates. The first one's been announced. It's on Lake Toho, and that's unique for MLF. The regular Cup events, everything you've seen so far, the anglers had no idea where they were fishing. They knew what region of the country they were going to be in, but there were usually, you know, several different options for fisheries they would be going to. So we do know the schedule, and the logistics just basically required that, I believe. You know, you got 80 anglers, you got to have 80, you know, basically judges, and they do want to have fan involvement. They're going to have a lot of an expo set up. There's going to be a lot of interaction with the fans there. And announcing that schedule is important for that. But and get back to the differences, we'll be able to practice.
Oh, nice.
We're only going to get 2 days of practice versus, you know, we're used to getting, you know, about 3 days of practice for the lead series events in the past and other tournaments even more. But, yeah, 2 days of practice and 2 days goes by so fast. You know, you got to really, I mean, you got to get after it and put it together. And especially, you know, you don't have to remember the format you're fishing is you're going to have to catch fish. That's number one rule. Make sure you're catching some fish. And then you've got to pair that with quality. You know, so ideally you want to be on a good solid pattern, a good solid area where you can keep getting bit throughout the day. But I've got a feeling with us being able to practice, guys are going to be able to put things together to upgrade the quality.
Right.
And the importance of a big fish is still going to be a huge deal. Especially in a place like Lake Toho, that's got 10 pounders.
Mm.
You know, so you're going to see the scoreboard change a lot, and, it's going to change fast, and it's going to change often. And, that's going to be exciting.
Is there a five fish limit, or is it as many as you can?
It'll be number of legal fish. And just got word the other day, the way we'll classify legal fish will be 1 pound. So it's a little bit different. Most
oh, yeah.
in tournaments past, we've done length limit. But you know, sometimes you catch those short, fat ones. You get to keep those. You get to count those if they weigh a pound. But yeah, it's going to be a running total. So you know, you can't just go to your area. And I did this in a recent tournament with Bassmaster at the bracket. You know, I caught enough to qualify for the next round, and I just shut it down. But with this group of anglers, you're gonna have to go wide open. I mean, you're just the score is just gonna keep running up, and you're gonna have to keep catching fish. You're not gonna be able to lay off or lay up, and you're gonna really have to focus on putting fish in the boat. And I have a feeling when all this shakes out, it's gonna be the guys that find that good combination of numbers and quality. You know, it's gonna be the key. You're not just fishing for five big ones. Or one big one. One thing I like about Lake Toho is kind of funny that's our first tournament. Is the Florida lakes in the past, if you got one big bite a day, you'd have a great tournament. If you only got one big bite one day, you know, you might not be in the top 50. But with this format, if you're putting fish in the boat, you can have a good tournament, and you're not just at the mercy of getting that lucky big bite.
And so this kind of changes up if you were a swim bait guy, big swim bait guy.
Yes.
It's kind of not going to work.
No, you're not swinging for, you're not deer hunting. You know, you're not swinging for the fences, yeah, one big bite, yeah, anymore. So the way you're going to have to fish is fishing a pattern that you don't want to limit yourself to little fish.
Yeah.
You got to make sure you're putting fish in the boat, but you got to do something that gives you the opportunity to put those quality fish in the boat too, and find that combination. And I can promise you, if a guy's been catching 2-pounders, or you know, a lot of guys are catching twos, which happens a lot of times in Florida, and you pop an 8 or a 9 or a 10 like I did down there at Okeechobee, you're going to skyrocket on that leaderboard.
Yeah.
So I bet, don't think that it won't be an exciting deal when guys catch a big fish, and maybe even more so than we have in the past.
Yeah, because you're going to be working more for a mid-range fish than you are those big ones.
So, yes, yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, it's you're going to try to keep running up the score, and but yeah, you're going to want the quality fish. You know, if you can catch 2.5, 3-pounders, that's going to be a huge boost over somebody that just says, "Hey, I'm just going to try to catch." You know, a lot of 1-pounders, that's not gonna cut it.
Yeah. Is the schedule similar to bass, where it's, you know, year round? Or because I remember some of those events were out in the middle of the winter and it's snowing, and they were saying that viewership was low during that time.
Yeah, we're going pretty hard in within a smaller time frame. I think we're wrapping up around August. I haven't looked that far out, but I think the last tournament's around August, maybe early September. And then you have some other events. But mixed in with that are your cup events. One of the unique things about Major League Fishing is the format. We got 8 regular season Bass Pro Tour events. But every 2 Bass Pro Tour events, the top 30 guys out of those 2 events – will go to a cup event, and that'll be something like you've seen in the past.
That's cool.
On television. Wow. That's the cup event. And so there'll be 4 different opportunities, 4 different cup events. And just because you could be having a bad season overall, and you get into those last 2 Bass Pro Tour events, you can qualify. You can have 2 good tournaments, make that last cup, and do well enough in the cup and make the championship by putting it together right there at the end. So you're never out of it. And that's one thing I like too.
Awesome.
You know, I've experienced that before. And, it's a tough feeling going into the last tournaments of the season and knowing, man, you know, I'm out of it. You know,
it's gotta be tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's an exciting thing for everybody, and keeps everybody upbeat and swinging hard.
Definitely. Well, again, we appreciate you coming on. We really do.
Yeah, man.
Is there anywhere that people can check out, like on Instagram? Do you have a page?
People can
look at your fishing.
yeah, Greg Vinson Pro Fish, and you know, got the athlete page, Greg Vinson.
Great.
And if I can figure out how to get Twitter on this new phone I got, I'll keep my Twitter updated.
You can tweet from out on the water.
I'll give you some tweets, but right now I'm not tweeting.
It's pretty even silent. Even though you aren't local, we like to promote people's local tackle shop. Do you have a local tackle shop you do like to go to?
Oh man, I've got a new one right here in Wetumpka, Alabama, mm-hmm. and it's called Burt's, and they just opened up. Some really good folks that I know from years back, and they're a great place to shop.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, maybe if we get some more listeners, someone might hear that and, you know, help them out, because we're all Absolutely. About helping, you know, local tackle shops.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things, too, is I love the online stores. Anywhere I can get tackle is a good place to me. I'm a tackle junkie. Uh-huh. But having those local stores, you know, gives you a chance to get the stuff that works in your area. And, you know, I always remind people of that, and especially if you're new to the area. One of the quickest ways to learn about a new lake is just drop by the tackle shop and see what's on the shelf. And sometimes those guys will talk to you and share with some patterns with you and things like that, get you started. So that's a benefit you get from shopping at your local store.
Definitely. We agree with you. Well, again, thank you for your time. And everyone, you know, if you can check out Fishhead, all their great stuff they have, a lot of good stuff, a lot of finesse stuff too, it looks like.
Yeah.
If you want to, like me, all I do is drop shot, so I got a new thing to try.
Oh, you
got
to try that V3, man. Get the 3/8. Quarter and 3/8, put you a little small minnow on there and go to work.
Yeah, exactly. all the lakes out here are deep and clear reservoirs, perfect. So
yeah.
It's got to be perfect for that, right?
So yeah, all right, again, thanks, and take care. Hopefully we can have
guys.
You on again.
Appreciate the chance to be on.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Take care.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. That was Greg's part of the interview. Really cool to have him on. We've never had a Bassmaster or Major League Fishing guest on, so I'm super stoked. It's like when I wake up in the morning and watch those Fox Sports West, you know, people entering. But let's talk more about Corey. I mean, you're an avid fisherman. I see your post all the time. You're always spotty fishing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, mostly spotty fishing and the kayak. It's mostly my thing. local bays. You know, Huntington, Newport, Long Beach.
Mm-hmm. Do you hit fishing sometimes in the kayak too?
I haven't. No. I have some friends down there and haven't made the trip down there. I've always wanted to do like a summer thing where we could camp and fish and do all that for like a couple of days.
Yeah.
But never really got to it. But yeah, it'd be pretty damn cool to do that.
Have you took your kayak past the like break wall and stuff?
No, but I've been super close.
Really?
Like scary close in the fog in Long Beach. So I didn't even, like, maybe a month ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was kind of.
I mean, what does your wife think about that? I think he's calling back.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll
answer. Okay. Yeah.
Hello. Hey, how's it going? I took you off the podcast. You're just done. Yeah. I think you should be able to hear us now.
Yeah, I got you.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, now go ahead and shoot that story up.
All right, so I'm not a rookie at this point, but I was a classic rookie.
Uh-huh.
And qualified for my first classic my second year of the elites. And we went down to New Orleans. I was going to be in the New Orleans Delta. And so I was well aware of Venice, Louisiana is, you know, full of bass. The only problem is it's about 120 miles from where you're putting in at.
Wow.
So
the only problem.
So I studied up on it, you know, and this is my first classic, and who knows, you know, at that point I thought it might be my only classic. So, I was doing everything that I could to do as well as I could in the tournament. And stayed in a little hotel down in Venice and spent hours and hours on Google Earth, you know, studying the area and you know, had some photograph maps. So I figured out they were in these little clean canals, but you had to figure out how to get around down there. And I'm used to running shallow water. You know, it's one of the common things, you know, in the bays, you're dealing with real shallow water. sometimes you got to take some chances to get in those places. And it's hard enough to get into one that you know how deep it is on the other end. But I went down there by myself, was running around, and didn't have a whole lot of experience in Delta waters at the time. So we had a strong cold front came in before this day of practice. The wind was blowing about 30 miles per hour out of the north. Uh-huh. And it just didn't register, you know, what was going on in the bay, you know, that you're talking about the Gulf of Mexico, you know, facing south. And so I took off down this canal that I had studied, and it looked deep and it was shaped up well, like it had been dredged recently. And I'm trying to get to this little dead end canal that, you know, I see on the map looks pretty deep. And so I figured out my route. And so I'm just wide open down this canal, and I should go back and mention I've got a brand new boat. I mean, one of the cool things about being a Bass Pro is you get a brand new boat every year.
Yeah.
And I've got 3 hours on the engine, so technically I'm still breaking the engine in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And boy, did I break it in right.
Is that a 250?
It was a 250. It was. And I'm running down this canal that on my map looked perfect and had plenty of deep water, and it's 4 feet deep. And all of a sudden, I look up and I can see ripples on the water ahead of me. And it went all the way across the canal. And so my instinct was, I'm not going to make it across this, because I could see this for many, many, many yards. Mm-hmm. And thinking back, I should have just hammered down and just gone for it. But I did it. And I tried to turn around in a canal, and I was thinking, if I keep it on plane and get turned around and get back to that 4 feet of water, and I didn't. The prop spun out, the boat sat down, and I'm out in the middle of a bay, you know, by myself, in an area that I don't know anything about, obviously, and the boat's bogged down, and with that north wind will blow the water out of those bays in South Alabama and Louisiana. And so I was stuck.
Wow.
And I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. I mean, it was going to be about 35 degrees that night. There's not a single boat in sight.
Oh,
I'm like waiting, you know, usually most places you fish, you're used to seeing boats go by and you flag somebody down for help and all of that. And nothing, dude. And all I can see are ship stacks. But they're going up. They're headed up the Mississippi River.
Yeah,
and like I felt like Tom Hanks in Castaway out there. I had to break out Wilson somewhere to keep me comforted. But luckily, man, I had met a guy. I had just met a guy down there, and kind of befriended me, and was, you know, asking about, hey, the fishing down here. You know, just trying to get some intel on the place. And I had his number, and I called him, and he had a buddy that had a mud boat. They call them mud boats. They use them for duck hunting. Uh-huh. Big long tiller comes off the bag. Yeah. The things they can run in the dirt. And I had no clue, man. But where I had shut down, I was only about 2 miles from a ramp. And the guy, he came down there. I mean, I was stuck, dude. I was going to spend the night out there. And luckily, the guy got me out. And so I don't take chances like that anymore.
Yeah, I bet, man.
And I go a little bit easier, and I'm a lot more aware of what happens, at least here in Alabama, Louisiana, when we get a north wind in the bays.
Yeah, you learn. How did you do on that tournament?
I did good. I made the cut. Had a good first day. Had a good tournament. I made my way all the way to Venice and back without getting stuck. and I had a good tournament. The ironic thing is that the tournament was won. KVD won it about 2 miles from the ramp.
Oh, God.
No I was way. Running 240 miles round trip each day. But, you know, it was a chance you take. It's something you do in bass fishing. And it's really, really unbelievable, amazing experience for my first Bassmaster Classic being down there in New Orleans. So it all worked out okay. One thing I didn't mention is when I got in that night, we finally got in, my brand new boat was coated with this mud, this cake bay mud, destroyed a prop. Oyster shells were embedded in the mud. And so every time I try to get it on plane, it would just blow mud up in the air. The mud would blow back onto my back and onto the deck of the boat because the wind was blowing so hard. And I destroyed a brand new prop. And luckily my motor made it through the year after putting it through that. But that's an experience I'll never forget. And hopefully a mistake I won't make again.
Yeah, great story. Thanks for giving us a call back to tell us that.
Yeah, that's yeah, really I thought that was cool.
Thanks again.
Be something I meant to mention earlier, but I start rambling. You know how it is.
You bet. Well, again, we appreciate it and have a great rest of the night. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one. All right. Bye.
Great story, man. Great. Yeah, that happened to me. We went to Idaho for family reunion, and I was taking my mom for a ride, and there was one high spot in the Snake River. The prop.
No way.
Yeah, so we were going to go bass fishing, me and my uncle. I found a lake up there, and I'm like, forget it. Done. I'm like, I'm not going to take the chance. The prop's like chewed up. I don't know what's going to happen, so we didn't go. But yeah, that's a good tip too, man, to keep an eye out when you're doing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's going, what, 80 miles an hour?
Yeah.
I don't know how fast in the canals, but...
Oh, I'm sure with a 250, you're jamming, but... So you've floated pretty close out to the break wall on fog?
Yeah. I've gone out to the break wall. I'd love to get a little bit better kayak to get out there, you know, along the break wall itself. Just fishing mostly on the inner side.
Just hitting the wall, working the wall on.
Just like the inner side wall, and then there's a couple islands out there that are pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, I like those islands.
Yeah. But it was actually pretty scary. I was coming out, and I thought I had an idea of where the shore was. Like, you know, you always want to have an eye on like where the shore, right? So I'm paddling along, and it's thick fog. I swear, I can only see, you know, seems like a couple of yards in front of me at this point, and I'm used to fishing Newport, fishing Huntington. There's some cruise ships out there, but they don't normally start going until noon or whatever, especially during the seasonal times. But Long Beach is a whole nother animal. You know, you're dealing with like the second largest port in the country.
And they don't stop.
So they don't stop. So you're dealing, you know, you look over and it's like a moving mass that's 10 stories tall.
Yeah.
It's just this massive tanker or whatever it is. So, anyway, I'm paddling along and I thought I had an idea of where the shore was. Like, okay, I'm going to paddle out here and then I'm going to come around and, you know, I'm going to work this spot and then I'm going to come over here. But, I ended up getting turned around somehow. And a lot of my friends will laugh because they call me Wrong Way Conway. I don't know what it is, especially like something I love, like fishing. I'm just like, yeah, gotta go. And I'm not thinking of like where I'm going, you know, I'm just okay, let's go. So, I'm just paddling along and then, you know, a boat would pass me and I would hear like, oh dude, that's the guy from the ramp, dude. He's all the way out here. And like, okay. Yeah. So I'm paddling in dense fog and I'm like, okay, well, if that boat saw me, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know? So I have a little headlamp on, and so I'm thinking, okay, I'll just put the headlamp on backwards. So that way someone coming from behind me,
we'll see,
hopefully I'm nimble enough to get out of the way of something coming towards me. Yeah. That was my plan. So I'm paddling along and I'm like, okay, that's one of the islands over there. So I start paddling over to it. It's not an island. As I get closer, I realize it's a tanker. Yeah, and because of the fog, their fog horns are going. So, you know, and basically they're just stationed all around the bay.
Yeah.
And so it just discombobulated me, like, for sure. I mean, there was a horn going from the north, one coming from the west. I mean,
Do you have a fish finder?
Yeah.
Do you have a GPS?
No, actually, I didn't. I do have all that, but I didn't have it with me.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going along and, you know, just being stubborn. You're like, oh, I got it, you know. But I'm paddling like just seemed like forever.
Yeah.
And I'm going along and going along. And then I finally just see this guy. It was, you know, I'd say it was like mid-November. It's foggy. And I just see this like ski boat go by. they all have their shirts off, and the guy's like wakeboarding, like, you know, and I'm like, I have no, I'm like, okay. So I go, they luckily saw me. So I'm coming along, and then I actually, I'm like, okay, this is the break wall. I'm actually at the break wall right now. Great. And, so later, you know, long story short, I'm like, okay, well, I know I'm not going to get ran over because I'm like, here's the wall. I'll just follow it all the way. I'll just fish and follow my way back. Like, you know, just relax and fish.
And where did you launch that day?
Yeah, I launched right out of Queensway, just a regular launch ramp. Yeah. And I ended up all the way to like the furthest point to
the break wall.
Yeah, to left. And I had happened to just catch the break wall by like, I don't know how many feet or how many yards before I would have just been out into open ocean.
Yeah.
And it was, I think I was lost, like lost at sea, if you will.
lost at harbor.
Yeah. I was lost at harbor for a good 35 minutes or longer. So I paddled a good, I think a mile or two. Wow. Just, you know, maybe even longer, just out there. And, you know, so later I go home and I look at it on Google Earth. I'm like, where I actually ended up, I'll show you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy cow. Like that was way off. You'd laugh if I showed you where I was actually trying to go and out there. But, it was very far. It was pretty far from the distance. I'm not normally, you know, I'm not used to paddling that far, but the distance is far. But when you're going in like circles and then back around and then you take into the current, it was so heavy. Maybe that's one of the reasons that it just threw me out there. Maybe because it was outgoing, but, it just really made me think. I'm like, damn, you know, so I ordered, some just regular like fog lights.
And you have the Navonics on your phone?
No, I don't.
You should get that. I probably use it more than my GPS sometimes.
No way.
Yeah. On the boat, like, cause it shows you where you're at. You're not far out.
Well, the Lowrance fish finder I have. It's great, and I'm sure it has that option, but, you know, I just really use it for the bottoms.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I'm not really using that. But yeah, I mean, I definitely got to use that, and it was just kind of one of those ones. I wasn't, like, in a full-out panic, but I was definitely nervous.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
I bet.
And it kind of widened my eyes to, you know, I don't know if you saw, I think it was last week, a lady drowned in Carlsbad.
On a kayak?
She was on a stand-up sup. Oh, yeah, it was real sad. You know, midday, you know, if you're looking at the scenes, you know.
Was she wearing
nothing yet. So it was midday, Thanksgiving weekend, you know, not a cloud in the sky, just super sunny, great day where everyone wants to be on the water, seemed like, right? But what they didn't take into account was the tides. You know, in the wintertime, it's just like a 6 foot plus, tide swing, right? Yeah. So I guess she was coming out during the outgoing, and there was a buoy line, and the board she was with two kayakers. They tried to jump the buoy line, they fell over and got swept away. They popped up later and they were fine.
Oh wow.
But she, unfortunately, since she was leashed, the board got caught in the buoy line, and then she went under and just dangled there underneath.
Oh, that's horrible, dude.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of that. I was like, man, how, like, because I mean, everyone's helpless, right? And I saw the newscast on it, and it looked like a raging river. I mean, well, not raging, but I mean, the current was moving. So you think, oh, it's a bright sunny day, you know, you never know what can happen, and then all of a sudden it's just this tragic event. It's super sad.
Let's do some positive talking.
Where do you go from there?
let's talk about some of your PBs.
Yeah.
Oh. So let's talk about your spotty. What's your biggest spotty?
Oh, for spotty, you know, I think the one I have measured is just about 16 and a half inches. Uh-huh. But it was a football. You know, the thing was so big. I brought it in, and it had to have been just right under 3 pounds. You know, it was fat. I got it on the fish head chatterbait.
Cool.
You know, the white one with the, had the live fork, lake fork.
Yeah.
It's the swim bait trailer on it. And I think just ate it. But I haven't seen one that big in a long time. So that was one of the biggest ones I have on record. That I measured.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of, you know, most of the fish are just, you know, up to 14 if you get those. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. You know, anything over 15, you're in 16 class. you know, that's great. I think my buddy Chris got one in Back Bay that was like 17 and a half.
Wow.
Spotty, yeah.
Yeah, when I first started fishing, I would go to Huntington Harbor a lot. And I went with my son and I caught a 2.5 pounder on one of those mini big hammers. It was like an inch and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I never fished those, and I was just fishing it, and I got slammed.
Micro hammers.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, like, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, those are great little jigs.
Oh, yeah.
What about halibut?
Halibut, I think just about 30 inches. It was like 29 and change.
Do you keep any fish?
No, I don't keep anything.
Nothing.
Do you
eat fish?
Oh, yeah, I love fish. Sushi is like my favorite. But, you know, the way I think of it, and, you know, being a fisherman, I have to explain myself, you know, you have to explain yourself.
Yeah,
you're the catch and release guy. Anyone in your family or anywhere you go, you just come back from somewhere and you're going to like an event or whatever. People are like, oh, you fish? Like, what do you got? You know?
What can I eat?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you must eat well. And it's like, yeah. Well, yeah, I do. But we catch and release everything.
Yeah.
So that's like the big thing. Unless I go like on a tuna trip.
Yeah.
Which I haven't been on one of those in a while. But, something like that, where you pay the money and you're going out for a day or 2 days.
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Right? And even then it's kind of pick and choose on what you're going to keep.
Yeah.
I really just have that infatuation. I think it's from my dad growing up.
And your dad's who got you. He's a big fisherman.
Yeah. My dad got me into fishing. He used to fish a lot with his brothers growing up in Jersey. You know, it was just rivers and streams where all they grew up. And so, and they would just catch natural, like smallmouth, perch, you know, everything, whatever bit back there.
Have you gone back there to go fishing?
Yeah. Family reunions, we'd go back and
fishing, huh?
Yeah. I was just throwing a Rapala at a random little lake and we caught a pickerel. And then we caught a couple bass and such like that.
That's
so,
awesome,
I mean,
dude.
Yeah, it was really cool. So he's always been. He's the one that got me into fishing. But yeah, I mean, as far as PBs, yeah. I mean, for spotties, yeah, I don't really think it's like a PB thing.
It's you're between 2 or 3 pounds and usually everyone's about the same.
Yeah. So it's not something like crazy, like rave about, you know, I don't have like a 4 pounder, you know,
what
I don't even have like a registered 3, you know, it's just like, I just have such an infatuation with those fish.
Yeah.
And I kind of boiled it down to why. And I think it's a lot of the crossover with the freshwater. I mean, literally wake up, not that it's like that easy, but you can wake up and say, I want to catch them on spinnerbaits today. Then, hey, you may get one, you may get none, but there's an opportunity there.
Yeah.
Right. Or, I want a Texas rig robo worm, you know, or whatever
definitely.
It is, or like the fish head chatterbait with the underspin on that thing, you know, being able to catch bass and halibut on that is just awesome. But being able to catch spotties on all that crossover gear, and being able to dial it down and try to get patterns and just work and build the consistency part of it. That was big to me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like being able to go down and shore fish and go to docks, you know, great. You may have a good time, but to go out actually on the water and then know the contours of the bottom, where the grass is, and try to figure out what the fish are doing at the times of day, just makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. Super cool, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And Corey brings some super cool pictures. From lake fishing too. What's your PB largemouth? You got some big.
Yeah. Actually, I was lucky enough to spend some time with my dad, you know, got me into freshwater.
Uh-huh.
Willie got me into fishing. We did all the charter boats and everything else. I maybe talk a little bit about that if there's time. But we did a couple of road trips up to Clear Lake.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, and my uncle Moon. His name is Moon. So Mooney. we go up and visit Uncle Moon and he fishes there. Like at that time, you know, this is early mid 90s.
Yeah.
He would fish there like 3 times a year. I think he had like his early spring, late spring, and then early summer. And he would stay at Indian Lodge. And this is what he did all the time. So my dad's like, we're going to go up and see Uncle Moon and we're going to stay, you know, a couple days at Clear Lake. Awesome. And he's got this little bass tracker. I mean, it's probably like the smallest one that they have, but just he loves it, and it's just an amazing little boat. It really, we've caught some big fish on that thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so we're out there, and it's like 14 foot boat. I'm like this time I was probably going on like maybe like 15, and I'm like going through a growth spurt, so I'm like getting bigger, and my dad is like, He's only like 6'2", but you know, he's a what big,
hold on, only 6'2"?
He's a big dude.
I'm like, I'd pay fucking thousands of dollars to be 6'2", buddy.
But we're like pretty big people. My Uncle Moon, he's not very tall, but he's, you know, bigger he's dude, a yeah. bigger dude, you know? So here we are, like there are three of us on this like 14 foot, you know, and Bass we're out there with Uncle
big
Mooney.
Old dudes.
Yeah. And, yeah, so we're out there, and day one, you know, we're out there showing, and he's showing us some spots, you know, whatever. And, you know, if I think of time of year, I think it was early spring, maybe early spawn, maybe mm-hmm. like March, I think it was the time. But we're out there cruising along, and there's like a couple different, like, I think there was one island, and we went to another little spot. And I'll never forget, I was flipping a brown and I think orange jig. It's uh-huh. just, it couldn't have been over a quarter ounce, and it had the big Uncle Josh Hank Parker trailer on this thing. I mean, this is like, people talk pig and jig now.
Yeah.
Like what yeah. people don't, you know, but this is a hunk. Like,
yeah,
it was like the size of like a baseball. Like this yeah. thing was big. And the funny thing is, it's like now too, we talk about gear,
yeah,
you know, and gear, and everything's over 7 foot. Well, uh-huh. this was back then. This
were
you
using the little rods you're talking about?
It was my biggest, stoutest rod. It was a Shimano Crucial,
uh-huh.
6'2", jig and worm rod, there 6'2", on 10 pound line.
Catching so 8 pound.
Yeah. So I'm flipping along, and, you know, my dad got like a 5 in the morning, and then my Uncle
so
Moon
how old are you
got
at
a
3.
Time? You know, I would say I would be maybe like 14, maybe 15.
So you've been to flip at that age. Like my kid will throw a hookup bait and some live bait, and that's about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, so, but you were into it at that age. You were
yeah.
like, this was it. Like you're flipping, like. You knew what you're aiming at.
Yeah,
you know?
Flipping, that's skipping, awesome. All that. Yeah,
yeah skipping yeah. too. Man. That's
like
awesome.
Pitching. Yeah, the whole
at that
thing.
Age.
Yeah, I mean, know? Just growing up, you know, that was just like what we did. I talk about like Lake Oso and in those days, but yeah. So we're just flipping along, and I flip up next to the stick, and it hit the bottom. You know, slow fall, and it just hit the bottom, and I think I just hopped it twice, and I didn't even feel a bite. I just felt like the line just tick. So I wind down and just set the hook, and I'm in the way back. I'm in the back of the boat, and uh-huh. I load up on it, and it just starts, it just starts pulling, and I hear the line. It's like, ding, 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 like it's just like mono,
and you're like no
mono. You know, it's like a rubber band. So I hear it's yeah. like it's tightening. So I'm like, you know, I'm wound up on this thing, and the boat just starts turning, and I go, Uncle Moon. Uncle Moon, and he's all, oh, you got one there. Oh, it's probably a catfish. I'm like, okay, well, we want to land it. So he's like, okay. So he starts going with the troll motor, and we kind of start following it.
Yeah.
And I'm pumping it, you know, and giving it, I think I had just had like a Corrado 200, the old Bantam.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, my uncle gave me a couple of those. Yeah,
yeah, it was, yeah. So I had that, and I'm just like going along, and finally we get it close, and I think my dad was either he had the net or he lipped it, or I don't know, but it comes out, and clearly like the water's not really clear. You know, at this point it was kind of like an algae bloom, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
or if I remember right, but it was pretty dirty green, and so he reaches down, and we pull out this fish, and it just keeps on coming. And I mean, the mouth was just so big. Holy cow. What is that thing? Oh my God. We're screaming. I'm screaming. And, my dad's like, oh, wow. My, you know, we brought it back and put on the scale 9, and it was like 9.8,
9.9,
dude, something like that. So yeah, it was insane.
But the shitty thing about that, that's it.
No.
Did you get bigger than that?
Not. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was it
I
for
mean,
the biggest.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like, when I caught mine, see, you know, it's hard is having this podcast. You keep telling the same fucking story over and over because I'm the host and I have a new.
Oh, your calico?
No, no, I'm talking about
from the cert.
See, no, I'm talking about largemouth.
Oh, okay.
I just talked to Redemption Swim Baits and Matt from Angler's Clothing. I got an 8-pounder, but I was only a year and a half into my fishing career. And that's my PB largemouth.
Like, oh,
and
wow.
So it was like for me to catch something like that. And then my next big one as I got into float tubing for a while. And I hit Silverwood and they had mats everywhere.
Oh, sweet.
So I was throwing frogs.
Yeah.
I get hit. I'm with my buddy Roger.
Yeah.
I'm like, look at this motherfucker. And I'm screaming. And I'm like, it's a 5-pounder. I go to lip it. And that fucking frog flies right out of his mouth. And I was like, oh, motherfucker. I was so pissed. But
damn.
But the fight, it's like nothing like the fight, man. I mean, I can lose fish all day, but I get that fight. Like,
oh, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah. That trip to finish it off, I think we went back out for dinner or for the evening bite because we would come in, we'd fish. And then we'd come and like come back in.
And you're camping at this time?
No, we're staying at this lodge that's on the water.
It's close to.
Yeah, it's just like a kind of a bed and breakfast lodge with docks.
Is it still there right now?
I think so. Indian. Yeah.
Wow. From what I remember. I'd be like way into that to take my kids and bam. If it's a lodge, that way I can fish with my older one or my middle one and leave. Or my wife could take care of the kids.
So my uncle, Moon ended up retiring, and now he lives on that lake full time.
I bet.
So you want to go out there? Yeah, like sure. I'd love he lives that. There.
Yeah.
So, definitely. But I mean that was just insane. We went back out, and I think I just remember my dad. You know, it was real tight on that boat, and my dad had just made a cast, and he hit my uncle in the head. Like he just like. My uncle, poor Moon, you know, he's just trying to get us, showing us around. And my dad just like swings back and he goes and he just takes his hat, just hits Moon right in the head, takes his hat off. And, you know, he had the fishing license on his hat. So the whole thing just goes over and he goes, damn it, Jimmy, you know, or whatever he said, you know? And so I'm like, oh, and so we pulled around to the next cove and my dad was just, he's so funny. Like, he would just be like, oh, you know, and he's da 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 da. And then all of a sudden, he's like, I got one, you know? And so he brings one in and it was 7.2, point something like
that. You guys did great that day.
Yeah. That was on a shad wrap, Rapala shad wrap.
Yeah.
You can't even cast, you know, how do you cast those things?
Those are still light.
Oh, right? My God. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. And my Uncle Moon did well, too. I think he got a couple fives on a spinnerbait and stuff like that.
A freshwater day, that's awesome.
Yeah. Day. I mean, it was insane. Yeah. If we had a five fish limit for that day, it would have been insane. It would have been insane.
You
but,
guys could have been an FLW.
Well, you know, as compared to what other guys were doing out there, who knows? But I mean, it was one for the record books. There's a picture I had of this fish, and you know, it was
awesome.
Do you
still have the picture? Is it in
the? You know, that's the thing. We had it up in Big Bear at the cabin, mm-hmm. and then we remodeled the cabin, and it got shuffled in somewhere, and I don't know. But no, it's not in there. But it's up in here forever. That's for sure.
Hey, that's the truth right there. Yeah. You'll never, when you catch a fish, you don't forget the way that bite feels, you know, like even when I went recently, you know, just fishing and just getting at my biggest calico on my boat, I think it was a 3.5 or 4-pounder that I caught. And I'm like losing my shit, you know, because I've never caught something that big from the boat. Thanks to Jeff Leifson. He's helped
me out. 4-pound calico. Like that. That's awesome. Dude.
All of these guys, Gary, everyone has been so helpful. Eric. I mean, like I said, my payment is listening to the podcast and going, okay, what should I try? These guys said,
yeah,
you know, and that's what I love doing is like Eric says, go try a light 15-pound mono on, you know, a jerk bait. I go and try it and I catch me and John from Whack 'em Baits. Catch a shitload of fish and I loved it on Boiler Rocks, you know. So
that's
like,
awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean it's just a true testament of like what actually works,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Just talking with people and networking. I'm a big advocate of that. You know, you see people.
And I see you at a lot of the deals, like where they'll have like a tournament or something, and that's super cool that you're there supporting a lot of the time.
Yeah. You know, that's, I love to be a part of all that. And what's really cool is too, Fishhead Spin and John, you know, I'll see something going on Instagram, or, you know, a friend's got something that they're telling me about, and hey, first thing I do, I'll call John. Hey, John,
we do some donations.
Yeah. You know, just try to break it down for him as simple as possible. Right. Cause he's running his business out there in Georgia. Yeah, so, exactly. Hey, make it easy for him. Hey, Corey, how's it going? Yeah. Yeah. What's going on, man? So
yeah.
Sorry for the accent in advance, John, but, yeah, basically just say, hey, this is what's going on. There's, you know, like last year we did the All About Spotted Bay Bass. It's an awesome page on Facebook. Uh-huh. I don't know if you remember. Definitely get on there.
Definitely, definitely.
All About Spotted Bay Bass. It's an awesome group put on by Dave Ski.
Uh-huh.
Awesome guy. Runs it awesome. But they started a thread last year, and basically they just, I think there was 15 to 17 boats that ended up showing up. We fished Los Alamitos.
Awesome.
Yeah, we did a Toys for Tots event.
And is that one's coming up again?
Yeah, we're actually doing another one in 2 weeks.
Is it 16th?
The 16th, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I talked to a couple guys that are actually doing that. So,
you know, just going back to being a big advocate of, you know, branching out and network, you know, and say hi to people. And I was fishing one day out in Newport, just kayaking along, and I happened to recognize Mike Brown, Spotty Stalker. And I'm like, hey, are you Mike Brown? You know, or are you Spotty Stalker? Whatever it was.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Take, you know, isn't... take your pride aside and say hi to people. And he's like, oh, hey, he kind of like lifts up. He's all, and I was like, hey, how you doing? You know, and I don't know if he knew who I was or whatever. And we just started talking. He's like, oh, yeah. Cool, man. Cool. You know, so we're kind of paddling along. We're fishing with him and, you know, just catching fish here and there and around Newport. And we're just kind of talking and all right, cool. You know, like, cause he was actually fishing an SBS tournament at the time when I ran into him.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I was like, all right, cool. Good luck. He's like, all right, awesome. You think he had like a couple in the live well already? Yeah. He was doing well. I'm like, awesome, dude. Well, it's cool. Like, nice talking with you. Awesome. So, but yeah, I mean, just reaching out to him and introducing myself and, you know, we became great friends. We ended up fishing three events together. That's we did awesome. Really yeah. well, and we got damn lucky, and we learned a lot off each other. I learned a lot off him, you know, he's a great fisherman, and, you know, super fortunate I'm linked up with him and, you know, a lot of other people too. So it's really, hey, you know, I get it. Like, we're on our phones or, you know, definitely, computers yeah, and stuff exactly. and, you know, everyone, you know, but, reach out to people, you know, it's awesome, you know, and that's going back to Fishhead. I mean, he's just super supportive. So I'll just tell him what event was going on and, hey, do you want to donate or you want to get a care package together for the winter? Yeah, we'll do a care package. We'll do hats. We'll do gift cards. We'll do this, that, whatever
that's super
they want.
Cool, man. That's
so
awesome,
we have lures for everyone. We have gift cards, we have hats, and you know, it's not, and the coolest part to me is that, you know, it's supporting a great company. You know, they run a great thing. Like Greg was on and was talking about that.
Yeah,
he's the actual,
like you guys,
he's the actual pro.
Exactly.
He's the actual Bassmaster and Major League Fishing pro.
Yeah.
He actually does that. I'm just, you know, I just like their stuff. I use it and promotional stuff, but everything works, you know,
yeah,
and that's
yeah.
what's good. And they're a great company. So I like promoting them.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We really appreciate having you on the podcast and having Greg come on and, you know, super cool guy. I'm glad we got to meet, you know, and, is there anything you want to promote? Like, well, if you guys want to check him out, he has a super cool Instagram page. He fishes a lot. What's your page?
See Fish Pant.
There you
outdoors.
Go.
Outdoors.
There you go. And he has
I think
a
there's
lot
an
of
underscore
cool...
in there somewhere. I think it's CFishPant_outdoors.
And I'll tag him like when we release an episode, I'll
Thank
tag you.
You
in the episode and then I'll probably take a picture to tag you.
Cool.
But yeah, super cool. Hit him up. If you guys have like a tournament, I'm sure he could help you guys out with donations, you know, for helping out kids. Toys for Tots, something like that.
Just whatever. Just reach out. Let's fish.
And if you got questions about Fishhead Underspin for local use, you know, he can help you out a lot because he fishes it a lot. And we appreciate him coming on and bringing on Greg. that was our first Bassmasters, you know, Major League Fishing Pro. So again, thank you very much. Super cool guys, super cool company. Check them out. Fishhead Underspin and Instagram, right?
Yeah, they're on Instagram, fishheadspin.com.
Okay.
They're on Tackle Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, and they're at a lot of other local tackle shops.
Yeah, great stuff. So thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye.